Now to a very different legal issue. It's hard to believe that 40 years ago it was still against the law for blacks and whites to marry in some U.S. states. All that changed on this day in 1967 with the landmark Supreme Court ruling in Loving v. Virginia, which legalized interracial marriage in every state. Today, mixed-race couples are more common, but only 7% of all American marriages are interracial. Joining me here in the studio to talk about their experience are Bill Cohen and Janet Langhart Cohen. William Cohen is the former Republican senator from Maine, and he was Secretary of Defense under President Clinton. Janet is a former model and pioneering television journalist. They co-authored a book about their marriage, Love in Black and White, a memoir of race, religion, and romance. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you,
Michelle.
Now, you're both public figures, but you are delving into some rather personal territory here. And, Mr. Secretary, I'd like to ask, why did you want to write this book?
Well, Janet started it all. She wrote a book of her life and growing up from the projects in Indiana to the Pentagon. And it was a remarkable story called From Rage to Reason, My Life in Two Americas. And I thought that it was such a good book that were there parallels in our lives that we could talk about, not so much what happened after we became married, but rather what happened to us before we were married. What was her life like growing up in a racist society in Indianapolis, Indiana, where the Klan had its headquarters? What was it like for me to grow up in Bangor, Maine, where anti-Semitism was quite prominent? So we each had steps to overcome, she much higher than I to climb. But I thought it would be an interesting story to talk about how we were able to meet in this country, coming from different backgrounds, races, religions, cultures, and yet meet, be able to marry, thanks to this Supreme Court decision, and live a wonderful life in this great country.
And Janet, are there ways in which, as a mixed couple, you still feel conspicuous or vulnerable, that you stand out?
No, not the way you would think or the way I would have thought, say, 40 years ago. If I were to have gotten married then before the Supreme Court ruling, America has grown. And the story we tell in Love in Black and White is a love story. It's not only a love story between Bill and me, but it's a love story between us and our country. We both were growing up in the shadow of World War II. He was born in 1940 and I in 1941. So to think that in my lifetime, within the last 40 years, we would have been outlaws, Bill and me, if we had decided to get married earlier in our lives.
Well, as a matter of fact, just 7 years before we met, it would have been illegal.
Yes.
So 1967. So 7 years later, we first met.
How did you meet?
Janet was hosting a television show in Boston. I was passing through. I went on the show, didn't get interviewed at that time, but saw this extraordinary individual. A combination of beauty, to be sure, but brains. And I said, wow, what a package. And
do you remember it?
Oh, I do.
Like that distinctly? As I recount the story in your book, you were kind of a mess that day. You were actually like sick as a dog and fairly disgusting. Did you notice him?
I did. He was standing at the water fountain just outside of the TV studio where
I worked. Oh,
great.
Sneezing outside the water fountain. Great.
But he had a handkerchief. And I was walking by him into the studio, and he turned to look at me, and I took pity on him because he had this handkerchief and he was blowing his nose. But what I saw were those glistening Irish blue eyes, and he was looking right at me, and I'd like to think it was love at first sight, but it was pity at first sight because he was so sick. But we became friends because in those days when women did television, we were relegated, the women, to the home ec stuff, cooking and babies and celebrity. And at that time, as you well know, Michelle, Watergate was going on in 1974. This is the year we met. And I wanted to do more substantive interviews. I didn't want to be the woman in the kitchen or the black woman in the kitchen. I wanted to talk about those issues. And Andrew Young was a friend of mine.
Who was a member of Congress at that time.
At that time. Mm-hmm. And I met Andy during the days of the Civil Rights Movement in Chicago with Dr. King. You know, he was Dr. King's lieutenant. And Andy had become a congressman. And when I saw Andy, I said, Andy, help me with these interviews. You know what's going on in Washington. He said, well, I never get up to Boston, but there's a colleague of mine who does, who has to pass through Boston to go to his home state of Maine, Bill Cohen. He can help you.
Which is interesting because you're of different political parties.
Right. We have a mixed marriage. We do. Janet's a hardcore Democrat.
I'm saying Andy Young. What I'm just saying is that it's just interesting now because Washington is perceived as such a polarized environment that he thought highly enough of you to recommend you as a, I don't know, tutor is not quite the right
mentor,
word, but as a source for
But Bill's a
for
different
Janet.
Kind of Republican. then and now, as you remember, Michelle, you're probably too young to remember, but Bill was the freshman congressman, Republican congressman, that voted for the articles of impeachment. So that took a lot of courage, even in the days when the Congress people were statesmen and gentlemen across the aisle. Bill had the courage to do that. So he's a special kind of Republican.
And received quite a barrage of anti-Semitic abuse as a consequence. I'm talking to William Cohen, former senator from Maine, and Janet Langhart Cohen about their new memoir, Love in Black and White. Let's fast forward a bit. And it was years before you actually got together. Mm-hmm. And then it was years after that.
Before you actually married.
So, yeah. Senator, I really have to ask, and Mr. Secretary, were you worried about the effect on your career or possible impacts on your career
if you married
a woman of African descent?
Actually, I was not worried. Janet was worried. I had proposed to her on several occasions prior to the time that she finally said yes, but she was afraid that her marriage to me would jeopardize my career. I tried to assure her that the people of Maine would not see it that way, that that she would misjudge them. But she said, "I'll wait until when you leave, and then we'll discuss it." And I decided to leave for a variety of reasons.
The Senate. You decided to leave the Senate.
Leave the Senate. Mm-hmm. And we got married in the United States Capitol on Valentine's Day, and had a great ceremony. And we were prepared to start a new life. And then Bill Clinton called after he was reelected and asked me to be his Secretary of Defense. But I was prepared for any assaults upon us, that this is something I wanted to do. And I loved this woman, and nothing was going to stop me.
But, Janet, I have to ask you, were you ever concerned about the impact mm-hmm. on your career?
No.
Because you are one of the African-American first. I mean, you were the first, as I understand it. The morning show that you hosted in Boston, first of all, it was one of the first live morning shows in the country. You were certainly one of the first African-American sort of major TV personalities, not to mention the fact you'd had an earlier career as a successful model. And it is often, it is sometimes the case that people in the African-American community are not that thrilled when
Absolutely.
Someone marries, especially a successful person, mm-hmm. because it is perceived as kind of leaving the community behind. And I wondered if you had any of those feelings.
I didn't have any of those feelings, but I understand that some of my people do have those feelings, and rightfully so. While I don't accept the abuse, and one comment was made just recently, and I won't say who, but he's a famous director, that said every time he sees an interracial couple, he wants to throw daggers. And I understand how our people can feel that way, Michelle, but I didn't have any concern about that. I knew I was going to do what I was going to do. I grew up in a community, all black community, that said I could do anything I wanted to do, even when there were parameters, mandated legal parameters, that said I couldn't. So when I wasn't going to allow that system, the larger society, white society, tell me what my limits were, I certainly wasn't going to allow any other society to tell me that. Racism clearly exists, and I would say it would exist on both sides. However, there's, you know, how you define racism. Black people or people of color who have a resentment toward one of their own marrying outside of their race, that's a different thing. One, there isn't the power there, and then there's the history of abuse, so there's an understanding of resentment. But as far as affecting my career, no, I don't think being interracially married affected my career. I will say something about Bill. When he said that he didn't have any problem marrying me, that the people of Maine would not have a problem, I thought Bill had great aspirations and certainly qualifications to go further than the Senate. And certainly being married to a black woman, I thought white America would have a problem. And as it turned out, I was wrong about Maine. I've been embraced and accepted. And so far, we haven't had any problems because of our interracial marriage. I think it's because America has grown. I think it's because I'm a black woman and not a white woman.
Really?
I think
why?
If the dynamic
if
were
it was
different.
Reversed?
Yes. Yes. I have friends who are the black man and the white woman. They have emergency plans when they go out. As to if there's somebody attacking them verbally or physically, they have plans on how they are to rendezvous. They also have a plan where they don't hold hands in public in certain regions, in certain communities, because America, while they may accept Bill and me, they used to say that the only two people in the racial echelon who are free is a black woman and a white man, because I think there's no real regard for the black woman, except as you started this question, of black men may have some consideration.
Well, you sure?
My father certainly did.
Really? He objected?
He didn't object. He just, when he heard I was marrying someone white, he said, why would you want to, you beautiful flower, give this beautiful flower to a man or a race that will never accept you, won't respect you, and treat you as an equal?
And what's your answer?
I married Bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Mr. Secretary, I want to ask you, though, you do recount some episodes in the book of crudeness, if not just, mm-hmm. it's not just outright hostility of, well, I don't know, do you want to tell it?
Well, on several occasions, one in New York, and again, racism is not defined by geography. It can happen, it exists everywhere. And we were in sophisticated New York in a sophisticated restaurant, and I was having dinner with Janet. Table next to us was trying to make eye contact with me throughout the dinner. When we finally got up to leave, they got up to leave. And on the way out, the gentleman came over to me and said, you really have to be pretty careful what you do in public, don't you? And right away, I said, whoa. I said, yeah, I'm a public figure, and I'm over 21. And he said, well, you have to be concerned who you're seen with. And he was looking at Janet, and namely that being seen with a black woman. And at that point, I had to kind of restrain my emotions, not wanting to end up in the tabloids as, in fisticuffs. But that was one example. Another would have been when one of my colleagues in the Senate started asking about Janet. He said, Janet, which one of her parents is white? And I said, neither one of them. Why do you ask? He said, well, she's so intelligent. And I don't think he understood what he was saying in terms of the connection, but clearly in his own mind, if you have white blood, then you must be intellectually superior.
Or if you're intelligent, you must be part white.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What message would you like people to draw from your story and from the book?
I think it's a story, as Janet was saying, it's about this country, what this country was like back in the 40s and 50s and all the way through, and how it has changed, how we have become better human beings, how a sense of decency really has taken root, that we have a long way to go. But if you compare the fact that Janet's father couldn't wear his uniform coming back from helping to liberate the camps, the Nazi camps and the Holocaust victims in Europe, that he had to ride in the back of the bus going to visit his parents and couldn't wear his uniform, that 40 years later, 50 years later, his daughter's marrying the Secretary of Defense. It tells you something how far this country has come. So it's one of a story of the past in order to tell what the past looked like so we know where we are today, where we need to go tomorrow.
And Janet, what do you want people to get from the book?
I want them to get the irony of our story, not just Bill's and mine, but the nation's story, is the irony that it is the oppressed, that it is the downtrodden of this country that have led the majority, the white people, into their humanity to realize the words of their founding fathers, equality and justice for all. It has been black people who have led us into that. So we show leadership.
Janet Langhart Cohen is CEO of Langhart Communications. William Cohen is former Republican senator from Maine and a former Secretary of Defense. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Their new book is called Love in Black and White, a memoir of race, religion, and romance. Coming up, the Mocha Moms make room for the Mocha Dads, and a special chat on fatherhood and family.
I found myself during the day thinking about things that I didn't used to think about, like, when can I get to the grocery store? What am I going to put on the table for dinner tonight? When can we go buy the kids new shoes? All of those kinds of things that Jolene had really handled for the first 16 years or so, I had to really pick up and take on myself.
That's next. I'm Michelle Martin. You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News.